It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Cynthia Schuster in for Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, the world's population growth is booming or tapering off, depending on who you talk to. Our guest breaks down the world's population numbers and what they mean for the way we live.
First, Governor Scott Walker and Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen have asked a federal court to reinstate Wisconsin's voter ID law, though the court says a decision will not be made before oral arguments are heard on September 12th.
That's on the federal side. On the state court side, last month, Wisconsin's Supreme Court upheld the voter ID law, provided that the Department of Transportation could provide free IDs to people who don't have birth certificates.
Rick Essenberg is with us. He's president and general counsel of the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. Rick, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Governor Walker and Attorney General Van Hollen have asked the federal court to reinstate Wisconsin's voter ID law, but they haven't yet laid out how they will account for the free IDs they would have to provide to those without documentation like birth certificates. Given that, how likely is it that the federal court will reinstate the ID law?
You know, I have been doing this for 30 years and have come to realize that my ability to predict what courts will do is not what I'd like it to be. I think that ultimately, maybe not yet, but ultimately there's a fairly good chance that the voter ID law will be reinstated, or at least the case will be sent back down to Judge Adelman for additional consideration, because the state Supreme Court sort of substantially changed the assumptions upon which Judge Adelman's decision was based. I mean, it essentially told the Department of Motor Vehicles that they've got to give this free voter ID to anybody who comes in and signs a statement that says that, you know, they can't they don't have qualifying proof of identity and would have to, you know, pay a fee to get it. It seems to me that that has the potential to substantially change the analysis that led to the conclusion that the voter ID requirement violates Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act.
Well, is there a rush to get this law in place by November 4th? And do you hope that is the case, that they eventually get this reinstated by November 4th?
Well, the legislature passed a law in, I guess, early 2011. It's really unfortunate that the courts are still wrangling over whether that law is constitutional or not and can go into effect 3.5 years later. Generally, the presumption should be that if the legislature passes a law in our democratic form of government, that, you know, it ought to take effect unless it violates the Constitution. It seems at this point we know that the statute doesn't violate the state constitution. It seems unlikely to me, given the saving construction that the Wisconsin Supreme Court adopted, that it will ultimately be found to violate either the United States Constitution or the Voting Rights Act. So, yeah, the law should be put in place. Now, whether that can be done within the period of time that is, between now and the election, I guess, is another matter. Although, you know, people forget that the voter ID requirement was in effect for the primary, the February primary in 2011. And so it's not clear to me that implementing it is going to be as difficult or complicated as some people suggest.
And from a legal standpoint, why did the Supreme Court require that the DOT provide IDs to people who don't have suitable ones?
Well, the reasoning that the court engaged in was that the legislature passed a law and it said that you're entitled to free photo ID for purposes of voting. The way that this is being implemented is you go into the Department of Motor Vehicles to get this ID, and they would ask you for proof of identity, birth certificate, something like that. Now, for most people, that doesn't present a problem, but there are people who don't have birth certificates. It's a small number, but there are some people who don't have birth certificates or would have to pay a fee in order to get one. And the court thought that That raised constitutional concerns because it would be a little bit like imposing a poll tax, right? You can't vote unless you go and you spend $25 or whatever the fee is to get a birth certificate. And so what it did is it interpreted this requirement for to give a free identification to really require the Department of Motor Vehicles to give that free ID whenever somebody could say, look, I don't have a birth certificate. I don't have the underlying proof of identification, and I would have to pay a fee to get it.
Well, if this is a sticking point for the courts, why wasn't it part of the law in the first place?
Well, you'd have to ask the members of the legislature why it wasn't part of the law in the first place. My guess is that the answer you'd get is that they thought that that it wasn't a, you know, who knows? I mean, they may have thought that it was a bad idea because it would allow people to circumvent the requirement of photo ID. It would lessen sort of the anti-fraud potential of the law because you could just go in and maybe you aren't really who you say you are, but you say I can't prove it because I would have to get a fee. That may have been their reasoning, or they may not have thought it through. It's you know, speculation to say.
Well, and critics have said that voter ID will suppress voter turnout with little payoff in terms of preventing voter fraud. Do you believe there's anything to that?
There really is no evidence that voter ID suppresses turnout. There are studies that show that turnout has increased and has increased among minority voters after voter ID requirements have been implemented. Now, so on the suppression of turnout side, I think that that case hasn't been made. In fact, it seems to be wrong. On the other side of the question, how much fraud are you going to uncover with a voter ID requirement? I do believe that it's fair to say that one could not expect to deter thousands and thousands of fraudulent votes through a voter ID requirement, because if somebody was engaged in massive voter fraud, they probably wouldn't do it that way. They probably would target absentee ballots, although Wisconsin's law, unlike most, does apply in the absentee ballot context. But the problem is that we have elections that are sometimes very, very close, including elections on the local level. We filed an amicus brief in the state Supreme Court, and we listed a number of elections that were decided by a handful of votes. And it's in elections like that, that particularly in a state like Wisconsin, where you can register at the same time that you vote with sort of easily fabricated documentation, there's a case to be made that voter ID is sort of a reasonable form of regulation, particularly since it doesn't seem to suppress turnout. And with this construction of the law by the Wisconsin Supreme Court, it's hard to see why anybody would be unable to get a free identification.
Will all this back and forth in the courts with regards to voter ID here in Wisconsin continue to cause any confusion, or do you think that people are pretty much know what to expect on November 4th?
Well, you know, it so far it hasn't caused confusion. It's caused frustration on the part of, you know, people who support ID or who believe that the law has been passed by the legislature should be implemented. In February of 2011, when voter ID was in place and implemented, it went off without a hitch. Obviously, not having a photo ID requirement isn't going to cause any confusion because, you know, it just voters don't have to do anything in order to comply. And my guess is that if it goes into effect again, that we'll pretty much see what we saw in the 2011 election. The GAB, I think, did a pretty good job of you know, getting the word out and explaining to people what they had to do, and I'm confident that they can do it again.
The federal court ruled that the law violates the Voting Rights Act and the U.S. Constitution. What are the chances that this ruling will be overturned in the long run, whether for this election or not?
I think given the limiting construction that the Supreme Court put on the law, which I think that the odds are fairly high. As I said before, I it's hard to predict what courts will do, but I think the odds are fairly high that ultimately the law will be found to not violate the Voting Rights and not violate the United States Constitution.
Rick, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with Rick Essenberg, President and General Counsel of the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, about the Governor and Attorney General's request that Wisconsin's voter ID law be reinstated by a federal court.